We know there's misconceptions about rewards. The idea sometimes is that everybody's going to get to heaven and everybody's going to be the same. We're all going to be with Jesus and everything's going to be wonderful. And it is true that when you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have eternal life and you're going to be with Jesus Christ forever. But the truth is we're not all going to be the same. And in fact, those who have been faithful to serve God will receive rewards. They'll have a place of service. They'll be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. They will be partners. We're going to talk more about that a little bit. They'll be partners with Jesus Christ. Now, let me just say something. Do you realize you can be a partner with Christ? We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. What does that mean? How does it fit? Those who have not served will not get rewards. In fact, think about it this way. Those who serve, what's he going to say? Well done. That's your handout. It says, those who serve, well done. Those who do not serve, what's going to happen? We're going to be ashamed at his coming. Okay? This has nothing to do with salvation. This has to do with rewards. So this morning, we're going to begin looking at rewards. Now, let me give you a reminder. Look at the review. You've got 1, 2, 3 there. Let's think about the review. The first thing that we saw, there is a distinction between salvation and rewards. Some people get those confused. Some people don't understand rewards. Some people's never been taught rewards. Some people think salvation is the reward and all those kind of things. So we realize salvation is a gift by faith. Rewards are what is earned. Salvation is not something we do. We receive the gift. Rewards is something that as we serve, we earn. We saw that Paul's charge was to get rewards, to run the race, to get the prize. Some people say, well, that's selfish to get rewards. It's not selfish if God tells us to run the race to get the prize, that when we stand before him, that he says, you are a faithful servant. The third thing that we saw was that there was a place and basis for rewards. There's actually a place we'll be rewarded, and there's a basis for these rewards. We saw that the place is called the judgment seat of Christ, which will give an account of our lives. This has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with the rewards. This is where he might say, well done, good and faithful servant. We know that the basis is going to be being found faithful. Faithful service. It's not how long you serve. It's not the gifts, talents, and abilities that you have. It's not whether it's an upfront gift or not. Bottom line is, if you're faithful in doing whatever God has for you to do, then that's the bottom line. So as you go to the top of the back of the page 1, which says number 4, which is what are the rewards? And this is where we are. What are the rewards? I think Ken asked me the other day, as we were leaving, he said, we're talking about getting rewarded. And I think, well, what are the rewards? What are we talking about? And so we're going to look at some terms that the Bible uses that I might call them key words, several key words that we're going to look at that the Bible uses to describe rewards, okay? So here's the first one. Number 1, it's the word crown. Now, you've heard that. You've always said, you know, you're going to get crowns. And then you hear people say, you're going to cast your crowns before Jesus Christ. And what does it mean to get a crown? Well, I want you to understand there are 2 words for crown, okay? 2 words for crown. There's a Greek word, diadem. That's the Greek word. And it means the crown that a king wears. Okay, that a king wears. And so when the Bible says that Jesus comes in Revelation 19 and it says on his head are many crowns, it's the word diadem. It means he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's ruling everything. There's another Greek word called crown, which is stephanos, like the name Stephen. It actually means rewards. And when it says run the race that you may get the prize, the idea there is the stephanos, the crowns. There is a crown of righteousness. There's a crown of joy. There's a crown of the... So when you talk about crowns, they're actually an idea of a place of rulership. It has an idea of a place of reward. So the idea is that he says we're going to be rewarded. Do you remember this passage, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27? He says, run the race so you get what? Run to get the prize. So fill that in. 1 Corinthians 9. We talked about that one already. This is the word stephanos. Run the race to get the crown, the stephanos. So when you stand before Christ, you want him to say, here's this little crown. Now remember, not a king's crown. Because when they ran the race and they won the award, they didn't give him a king crown. They didn't give him a diadem. They gave him a stephanos, which was a little thing that we saw in 1 Corinthians. It's talking about it's something that would wear out. Our crown never wears out. So the first term that you're going to find in the Bible for rewards is called a crown. There's a second term, and it's the word treasure. Treasure. Most of you have heard this. You say, lay up what? treasure in heaven. That's another concept. You're in Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 19. Matthew chapter 6. This is Jesus, and he's talking about the future and what we to do. This is on the Sermon on the Mount. 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, where he called people and he sits down and he teaches them. And look what he says in verse 19. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. So he says, look, don't lay up for yourself treasure on earth. There's treasures on earth. I remember one time I got this sweater. I thought this was the greatest sweater. I said, I love this sweater. I'm going to wear this sweater for the rest of my life. I thought. And I remember going in there one day, and there was a giant hole right there, you know. And I thought, oh, wow. Because what happened? Something got in there and ate it, you know. And so sometimes we treasure something here. Everything here is what? It's temporary. Everything here is temporary. The only two things that last forever are God's word and God's people. You know, the word of God and people are eternal, but all the stuff on the earth is all going to be gone. And so he said, look, don't lay up for yourself treasure upon the earth, the temporary things where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in, somebody steals it. You look at it, you say, I had this great bicycle, and somebody stole my bicycle, okay? That's what people do. What is he going to say? But lay up for yourselves what? Treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys thieves. This is eternal. This is stuff that lasts forever. Lay up treasure. And Matthew talks about Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Lay up treasures in heaven. Now, why? Because they're eternal. These rewards and these treasures go on forever. Nothing can touch them. And so the idea of this is that when you're serving God now, it's as if you said, God says, okay, good job. That's for you. I'm storing it up here for you. And when one day I will give it to you and nothing can happen to it. Okay? So we see that there are crowns and there are treasures. And then here's the one that most people have never put together. This, the third aspect of rewards is called ruling with Christ. Many believers will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. The ideas have a place of responsibility. If you're the king and you've got other places and you say to this person, I want you to sit right here and rule over this area. Do you understand that when we're talking about going to heaven and we're talking about coming back to this earth as the king, with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and a 1,000-year reign with Christ on this earth, and then an eternal kingdom, which the Bible talks about, a new heavens, a new earth, and all that, there are going to be people who have places of responsibility to rule on the earth for 1,000 years and then to rule for all eternity. Think about that. Are you going to rule with Christ? Will you receive crowns? Do you have treasure? Will you rule with Christ? I want you to see this. Look at Revelation 3. It says this. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He's saying, I'm sitting down ruling. You're going to get to sit down and rule with me. Now, I want you to understand, overcoming in the book of Revelation is based on service. Overcoming in Revelation is not overcome by faith in Christ. That's in 1 John. In the book of Revelation, to overcome means to have victory, based on service. It's faithfulness, standing for Christ. And so he says, if you overcome, you get to sit with me on my throne. The idea is to rule and to have a place of responsibility. Let's do this. Let's turn to Luke 19. Just flip over there. Let me look at time. We got time. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. And Jesus is going to give a parable. And by the way, just on your handout, when it says Revelation 3:21, what will faithful believers do? What will they do? They will rule, exactly. They will rule with him. Okay, Luke 19, that's at the top of the next page. And there's this parable that Jesus gives. Almost every one of us, I know you have read this parable before. You've probably studied this parable before. But we may not have always thought about what he actually says. Luke 19, look at verse 12. Let me just put it up right there. Look at verse 12. So Jesus gives this parable. He says they were listening to the things, this is verse 11, they were listening to these things, and Jesus went on to tell a parable. And here's what he says in verse 12. So he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. So the nobleman is leaving. And what he's going to do is he's going to leave, but he's going to give a responsibility to his servants that are left behind. Jesus left it. Jesus came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, walked on earth for 40 days, ascended to heaven. What did he tell everybody? He says, I'm leaving. But I've got something for you to do. You're going to do what? What's our purpose? Make disciples. That's exactly right. That's what he says. I've got a responsibility for you to do. It is to make disciples based on the gifts, talents, abilities, everything that I've given you. I want you to be faithful. So what did he do? In verse 13, notice what he says. And he called 10 of his slaves and he gave to them 10 minas. That's day's wages, stuff like that. About 100 days wages, really. It's a lot of money. And he said to them, do business with this until I come back. It's like the king saying, listen, you're my servants. I'm giving you this. Use it. Use it. He says to us, I'm gone. See at the right hand of the throne of the Father. When everything's ready, I'm coming back and I'm going to set up a kingdom and rule forever. Rule 1,000 years on the earth and then forever. I'm giving you gifts, talents, and abilities. Use them till I get back. Okay, every one of us in this room have different gifts, talents, and abilities. And see, that's what he said. He said he's given them, given your responsibilities. He says, use until I come back. God has given to us gifts, talents, and abilities to use until he comes back. And then in verse 14, he talks about the citizens hated him. He's talking about the people who reject him. He's going to come back and rule over them anyway. Because there are people in this world who reject Jesus Christ and don't want him to rule, but he will. Now, look what happens in verse 15. Yeah, 19:15. Look what happened. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, here he comes as the king, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money, the responsibilities, be called to him that he might know what business they had done. Now, there's going to be what? An accounting. Every believer will give an account. Remember Romans 14:12? What does it say? As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall give praise to God. Therefore, each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we will stand before our Savior and give an account of how we used what he has given to each of us. Every one of us have time, we have possessions, we have gifts, we have talents, we have abilities, we have opportunities. We're going to stand before Jesus Christ, and he says, I gave you this. How did you do? That's going to happen for every one of us. It doesn't matter how we think about it. If we said, oh, I don't know. It's going to happen. That's what he says. He says, everyone will give an account of his life. Well, look what happened in 19:16. The first guy appeared and said, Master, guess what? Your mina has made 10 minas more. He said, listen, I got out there, and I've done some pretty good stuff. I used what you gave me. In verse 16, the first appeared and said, Master, your mina has made 10 more. I took what you gave me, and I used it. And look what we really see. He says, 10 more. That was good. That was service. That's of what? He's what? What is he? He's faithful. He's faithful. When you stand and when I stand before Jesus. Now, remember, this has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is a gift. We go to heaven because we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. We have an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ forever, and nothing can change that. But the rewards, the place of service, the responsibilities, all those things are going to be based on how we live now and how we serve and whether we take the gifts, talents, and abilities. And so he said, man, the first one appeared and said, Yamina has made 10 more. What did he say? Notice the statement. And he said to him, well done, good slave. Good and faithful what? Servant. Well done, good slave, because you have been what? Faithful in a very little thing. Be in authority over what? You're going to rule with me. You now, I'm the king, and I'm ruling. Guess what? I'm giving you 10 cities. Now, I'm not saying that when Jesus Christ comes and sets up the kingship that he's going to give us cities. I don't know how it's going to all work, but you're going to rule with him. You're going to have places of responsibility in serving the Messiah and the Savior for 1,000 years and then for eternity. So he says, well done, good servant. You've done really well. And he's got authority authority over 10 cities. He is the king. He has, and he has this servant, supposed to be servant, rule with him over 10 cities. The picture is of service. The picture is of service. Now watch. Watch the next one. In Luke 19, 18 and 19, look what it says. The second one came and said, Master, your mina, master, has made five. He said, you know, I worked the best I could with what you gave me, and I got five. And he said to him, look, you are to be over what? Five cities. He said, I'm rewarding you for your faithfulness. See, it was the same reward. When I say same reward, based on the faithfulness, based on how they served, based on what all they used, he says, now, this is for you. And we all know that if you keep reading in the parable, there's a guy that did nothing. What happened to his one mina? He took it away from him. Listen, what's going to happen when you stand before Jesus Christ and I stand before Christ and he says, you didn't use, or we say to him, I didn't really use the gifts, talents, and abilities and stuff you gave me. I kind of wasted it. I just went through life because I used life for me. He's not going to say, well done. He's not going to say, rule over this, rule over 10, rule over 5, rule over this. He's not. See, those who are faithful will rule with Christ. Let me just tell you something. For a long time, I used to teach, and just I'd say this, that when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and you have eternal life, one day you'll rule and reign with Christ. I was wrong. Not everybody's going to rule and reign with Christ. Everybody's going to be with him. Everybody's going to be in the kingdom. But not everybody will rule and reign with Christ, only those who are faithful. Because the unfaithful guy doesn't get it, but the faithful guys get it. And so we want to be faithful. Now here's something that you may not have ever grasped. See, because we all say, yeah, I've heard of treasure in heaven. I've heard of crowns. But you may not have ever put together ruling with Christ. Now there's one other thing I want you to think about. We will be partners with Christ, ruling with him. Now watch this. I want you to see something. Hebrews 3:14 says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we do what? If we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. Now, I'm talking about hanging on for salvation. He's talking about if you're holding fast and living righteously and godly in a fallen world and using the gifts, talents, abilities. You got salvation whether you hold fast or not. He's the one keeping you. You're not keeping him. This is for service. He says, we have become partakers. Now, that is a very unusual word. The word partaker is metakoi in the Greek, and it means a partner. If we hold fast, if we are faithful, what do we become? Partners with Christ. You want to be a partner? You know, a law firm, we're going to make you a partner. What does that mean? You're going to get to be in the big offices, and you're going to get to be up here, and you're going to get to help make decisions. If you want to be a partner with Christ, let me tell you, the metakoi are the partners. And, you know, we've talked about marriage supper of the Lamb, and we've talked about how there will be people invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, but there are going to be a lot of people who don't get to sit at the supper. It's not that they're not in the kingdom. They don't get to sit at the supper. You know who sits at the supper? Who? The partners, the faithful, exactly right. Listen, I know this sounds bad because some people have been taught all their lives, it doesn't matter. You trust Jesus, you're going to heaven, you got it made, we're all the same. We're not all the same. You trust Jesus, you got it made, you're going to heaven, you're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, but you may not have crowns, you may not have treasure, and you may not have re-ruling with him, you may not be a partner with him. It has to do with responsibility during the 1,000-year reign of Christ and the eternal kingdom. And so many times we act like it don't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Yes, it does. Those who faithfully serve will be called partners with Christ. They'll be joint heirs of Christ. They will rule with him. Now, I want you to understand something. We talk about loss of reward. We say, you're going to lose rewards. Let me say something to you. When we talk about loss of reward, we're not talking about losing rewards that you have, but losing rewards that you could have had. Because the Bible says that he'll no way that if you give a cup of cold water, he says you will receive your reward. If you give a cup of cold water in his name to somebody, you're not going to lose your reward. Whatever ways you serve, but you may not serve very much. And when time comes, you're going to be ashamed. There are going to be people in this room that you're going to be so excited because you're going to be so scared. We're all going to be so scared. We're going to go up like this, and he's going to say, wow, well done. You did this. You took the gifts, the talents, the time, the possessions, the money. This you gave what I gave you, and while you lived on this earth, you represented me. Well done. I got some stuff for you. There's going to be people in this room, you're going to be more excited than you could imagine. There are going to be people who are believers who know Christ. They're going to be embarrassed when they stand before Jesus Christ. Their hearts are going to be broken at that time because they're going to say, just like Schindler's List, he said, I could have done more. You're going to probably say, or some are going to probably say, I should have done something, right? Do you think most believers are using their lives for the glory of God? What do you think? Tell me the truth. No. The old 80-20 rule, the Pareto rule, 20% of the saints do all the work. That's about the way it works sometimes. So when we talk about losing rewards, we're not talking about losing rewards that you have. Let me show you. Look at this verse right here. 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. Watch yourselves that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a what? A full reward. You don't want to get up there and he goes, boy, you could have had so much more. Or you say to yourself, I could have had so much more. I could have done so much more. Now, next time, which will be lesson 6, will be our last lesson as far as the rewards are concerned. We're going to look at the different crowns that are listed in the Bible. And what do they mean? And how do you get those crowns? There's a crown of righteousness. There's a crown of joy. We're going to see, what are those crowns? How do you get them? We all know being found faithful, you're going to get them, but what do you do? So we're going to look at that. And so here's what we see. Let's understand the different terms. Crowns, treasure, ruling and reigning with Christ, partners, all of those go together. Those are the different terms. Second, the crown for rewards is called a what? A Stephanos. What's the other crown called for the king? Diadem. So you want to get Stephanoses. You want to get them. You want to go, yes, I'll take them. Faithful service results in being partners with Christ. You gain rewards, you gain treasure, and you rule with him. You want to be a partner. You want to be a metakoi. You want to be, and I don't mean this in a bad state way or not. You want to be in the inner circle with him. You want to have served him, and he say, come right here, be with me. That's what you want. We cannot lose the rewards we have gained in faithful service. We might not get the full reward because we just didn't do what we should have, but we cannot lose anything. Are we pumped up about rewards? You gotta be. This is not something to say, oh well, that's nice. It's not just nice. It's the biggest thing for our Christian lives to live in such a way you hear your Savior say, well done.